Now when Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. As he went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. These words are the words that Jesus spoke against the devil. Jesus had fasted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. We hear about this in Lent, usually every year. And the devil tempted him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones turn into bread." And Jesus said to him, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Jesus had been hungry, and he could have easily wanted bread to feed his human nature. But he tells the devil that man does not live by bread alone. In the gospel, we see that Jesus, it's almost as if he moves in the opposite direction of what he said against the temptation of the evil spirit. He now, by a miraculous power, makes enough bread and fish to feed over 5,000 people. It says there were 5,000 men, but it doesn't say how many women and children were there. So there could have been 10,000 or more people there. And Jesus, by his divine power, makes it so that they can eat. They have more than enough bread and fish. This is a real miracle. And Christ here reveals that he has the creative power of God the Father within him. God made everything out of nothing. There was a time before there was any time or any creation or anything except God. And he made everything. And he's the creator. Here Jesus manifests that he has that same power within him. He is divine. He is the Lord. What's interesting about this situation in the gospel is the people could have obtained their own food. The apostles tell Jesus to send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. So they could have got their own food by themselves. They really didn't need Jesus to multiply the bread and the fish for them. It wasn't necessary for them. And so what we see in this miracle is something else about Jesus. Not only does he reveal his almighty power, but he reveals his love. The people don't need his miracle, but he gives it to them anyway, revealing his power and his love. He's revealing that God loves us. This is important because some people can believe in the power of God, in his omnipotence, in his majesty, but not believe that he actually loves them. Years ago, I met a man who was in all kinds of trouble, mostly because of his own sins and failures. And I told him that God loved him. And we talked for quite a while, and every time I told him that God loved him, he couldn't bear listening to that. He would turn his back to me every time he said that, every time I said that. And I found out that what was happening was every time I said God loves you and that he's merciful and that he loves you, he actually started crying. This guy was a tough guy. He was covered in tattoos. He had had a really rough life, and he didn't want to show me that he was crying. Every time I said, "God loves you," he'd start to cry, so he would turn away and try to hide his tears. And he told me that he was Catholic and he believed in God, but no one had ever told him that God loved him. I can't imagine what it must be like to live that way. To believe in the power of God, to believe that God is the creator, that he's our judge, that he gives us the Ten Commandments and the law of the gospel, but to never believe that he loves us. When we believe in God's majesty but not in his love, then our idea of our relationship to God is that of a slave before his master. We see God as the master and we as the unwilling slave, and that we follow his commandments because of fear of punishment. We're terrified of the master. We feel that he doesn't really care about our dignity, our desires and our fears and our strength and our weaknesses. We feel almost oppressed by our relationship to God. This idea of God as absolute master and we as the slaves can lead to all kinds of trouble. It can lead to constant anxiety before God. We can feel a scrupulous fear of offending him. And that's not right, because God is referred to in all of the scriptures as our peace, as our source of our life, as the one who cares for us. So if we have this idea that he's the master and we're just a slave and that's it, then we could have constant anxiety before God. Our religion becomes a source of anguish instead of peace. It can also lead us to despair. We can start to feel that it's impossible for us to please the Lord, that some point in our life we have failed in some way, and therefore we're no good. There are parts of, even in Islam, which presents it as if God is absolute majesty and master, and we're just his slaves, and it leads to all kinds of perverse ideas about God and how to live in relationship to him. The Lord Jesus wants to teach us that God loves us. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, lost this idea of the love of God. Right after they sinned, they were given a darkened intellect. Their sin kind of, well, they weren't really given that darkened intellect. Their intellect was ruined by their sin. And they could no longer perceive the love of God, so they hid from God right away. And Jesus comes to tell us, yes, God is the master, he's all-powerful, but he loves you. He loves you very much. At the Easter Vigil, when I celebrated this year, as I was preparing the Easter candle, the Paschal candle, I said, Christ, yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, all time belongs to him and all the ages. To him be glory and power to all ages forever. Amen. And so it's a manifestation of the power of Jesus. He is all-powerful and he is the just judge. In the gospel, Jesus is revealing his love for us. And it's this love that we must live by. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. St. John says that Jesus Christ is the Word of the Father, the Word made flesh. And therefore, we have to live by this Word which reveals that he's all-powerful and that he loves us, that he loves you. We live not just for the things of this world, but for the Lord Jesus, for his love. St. John Paul the Great once said in one of his homilies, what really matters in life is that we are loved by Christ, and that we love him in return. That's what matters. That's what one of the newest saints of the church has tried all of his life, even by his death, to teach us. That what matters for you right now, what's most important for you, is that Christ loves you. He is the living manifestation of God's love. God loves you, and that you love him in return. When his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, Jesus said, you must call God our Father. He told us to call God our Father. Not the slave before the master, but now the child before the Father. That's the new relationship that Jesus wants us to have. We are God's children and he is our Father. So that means he's the source of our life, that without him we're nothing. It means that he loves us. St. Peter, in one of his letters, teaches us that Christ gives us an example to follow. And so we need to follow the example of Christ's love. Love is when I go beyond what someone needs. I make a sacrifice of my time and my energy for someone else. That's what Christ does in this miracle and in his own death and resurrection. But we ourselves must also accept his love. we have to accept His love in our lives. I remember when I was returning to the practice of the Catholic faith, one of the things I began to do was to go to confession. The sacrament of reconciliation is an essential part of being a Catholic, and it's an awesome gift of the Lord Jesus. With the sacraments, we don't want to say, oh, we have to go to confession. But it should be, we can go to confession, we get to go to confession. I have a friend who was preparing for Mass today, and he announced to his friends that we don't just say we have to go to Mass, but we can go to Mass. And that's awesome. The sacraments are awesome gifts from the Lord Jesus and His love. Well, anyway, when I started going to confession, my chief motivation for doing that was, well, I have to obey the Ten Commandments, and if I've ever fallen short in any way, God is the master and lawgiver, I have to go to confession. I have to go to confession. And there was one time in this awesome, dramatic journey of a soul that I was going to confession, and I had this profound awareness that Jesus Christ loves me personally. It was as if it was a real religious experience, and that motivated me in going to confession and obeying the law of the gospel. It made me realize that, you know, what's most important is that God loves us, and that's why we avoid sin. And that's why if we have sinned, we go to confession and repent. It's God's love that moves us. Well, this is the truth. Christ is all-powerful, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He loves us. He really does. He loves you. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe what Jesus teaches. You're actually not believing in Jesus. If you don't believe that God loves you, doesn't matter what has gone on in your life, if you don't believe that God loves you, you're not believing in Jesus. And you can just start again and believe in Him. He does love you. He really does. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta once said, "The crucifix shows us how much Christ loved us. And the Eucharist reveals how much He loves us now." The Eucharist of the Catholic Church is the preeminent gift of the love of Jesus. It is His real presence. It's divine love existing and living within this world. And we cannot live without this. St. John Paul the Great in his first encyclical said that we cannot live without love, that our very being is an enigma to ourselves if we do not participate in love. Well, Jesus Christ came to gift this world with the real presence of divine love. When Catholics no longer go to Mass and confession or the other sacraments, I say that for most of them, they have chosen to live without this Eucharistic love of Jesus. They probably don't know what they're missing. They've chosen to live by bread alone, the bread of money, the bread of entertainment, the bread of extra sleep on a Sunday morning, the bread of pride. Now, we know that we need many things in this life. We need food and water. We need rest and friendship and good times, money and a house. But we have to be convinced that without the Lord Jesus, we are without love, without His Word to guide us, without His body and blood, soul and divinity, without His grace, then we don't have real love in our lives. We're missing out. We may have some kind of love, but we're missing out on the fullness of love. We're missing out on God's love. We cannot live without God's love. We have to believe this. Jesus had the people stay behind because He wanted to show them that He loves them and that they need His love. It's as if He's trying to undo all of the errors that the devil brought into the mind of Adam and Eve and their descendants through sin, trying to convince the people that God loves you and you need this love. You need it. That love may be the proclamation of His Word. That love may be His nourishment in the Eucharist. That love can be His mercy and forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. We need that love. And so many people need that love. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is our Master and He loves us. Without Him, we cannot live. May we always try to accept His love and love Him in return. by saying yes to His word, by imitating His love in loving one another, by receiving His grace in the sacraments, and by trusting in Him completely. God bless you.